Welcome. You are listening to Conversations from Christ Church Cranbrook. We are a faith community located in Metro Detroit who have been transformed by God's acceptance, love, and grace. Whoever you are, wherever you find yourself on the journey of faith today, we pray this podcast will feed your soul and inspire your spirit.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and the risen Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 98 is such a beautiful and joyful psalm. It speaks of God's victory and establishment of a world filled with God's justice, where all is good and right, and the response of all of creation to God's amazing work in the world, including magically and delightfully the seas, the rivers, and the hills, is to clap and sing out for joy, joining with all of creation's acclamation. So the psalmist proclaims, "Let the sea make a noise and all that is in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth." Now, if Psalm 98 sounds slightly familiar to you, the phrases and the words, perhaps it's because it is the inspiration for Joy to the World, right? That most important Christmas hymn that celebrates what God has done by entering into the world and taking up room in a manger. And so that second verse, it goes like this: "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns, let us our songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy." This is this beautiful understanding that the proper response to God's mighty hand bringing victory to those who are waiting for justice is to celebrate with music, with musical instruments, with our voices singing, with all participating in harmony and sound. The good news about God acting in this world means we need to use more than words. We need song. And I think that's really profound for all of us to know. Music is not optional in your life. It is necessary. We need music so that, along with all of creation, we have the power to declare our joy of how God is making the world in the image of his beloved kingdom. Now, anyone who knows me knows I am not a musician. Occasionally, by mistake, I leave my mic on, and the good people, you at home who are watching on the live stream, you're subject to my always very flat voice singing really loudly the hymns terribly off tune. You know, I tried to make up for this. So on my 40th birthday, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to give myself the gift of piano lessons. And my son at that point was 5 years old, so it was time for him to learn piano. And we had a parishioner in the church that I was serving at the time who was a piano teacher. So she would come and teach me and Miles how to play piano. And my son, he excelled. He had no problem reading the notes and putting his little fingers on the right keys. But oh my gosh, I struggled mightily. I mean, there was nothing that was intuitive to me about this. Every single time I saw a note, I'd go, "Every good boy deserves fudge." And my hands, they would just not move ever in the right direction. And I just had no muscle memory, so after 9 lessons, I gave up. Making music is not my gift. But you do not have to be a musician in order to be able to appreciate the gift of music, which is good, because music is everywhere. I was reading David Byrne's book, How Music Works. Now, David Byrne, he's that lead singer of the Talking Heads. And not surprisingly, if you're familiar with their music, he's a little bit of a brainiac. So in this book, How Music Works, he interestingly waxes theological. He quotes the scriptures. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." And he was like, wow, this sound causes nothing to become something. And he thought, you know, that word, it's not a syllable. It's not just an utterance. He pictured the word as like being a sonic event with celestial vibrations that went on and on. And then Byrne points to Pythagoras, who was that ancient mathematician who also believed that if you listened, there was celestial music being made by the planets as they move through the galaxy. He called it the music of the spheres. Later on, NASA would record electromagnetic signals as the Voyager shuttle passed by the planets. And then they converted these signals into sound and released it as an album with the title Symphony of the Planets, implying, indeed, there's music that is permeating our universe. A reviewer wrote about this album saying, "It's as if the universe is performing for you just like the earth is in the Psalms." There's music everywhere. David Byrne tells an old story of a 9-year-old named Matthew Whitaker, who was born 23 weeks premature and was born blind. And every Saturday, little 9-year-old Matthew would travel from his home in Hackensack, New Jersey, to New York City for a full day of music lessons. He played 7 instruments. And his father said, he hears everything as music. And New York City, it came alive to him as if it were a symphony. The subway was his percussion. He would hum along with the resonance of the fast cars on the highway and the fast talkers on the sidewalks. When he was asked to describe New York, this little 9-year-old who cannot see puts his finger out, turns around, does a 360, and says, "New York City is a circle of sounds. There is music everywhere. Everybody has a smile on their face," says this little blind boy. "It's musical. It's dark and so beautiful." Matthew is now 23 years old, and he's an acclaimed jazz pianist who has played in Carnegie Hall and with Stevie Wonder. This is what happens when you can hear music everywhere. David Byrne called this the re-enchantment of the world. And to me, this is one of the most important roles that music plays in our lives. It's to remind us of the divine presence in the midst of our ordinary experiences. It transports us into spheres where we can hear what Rick Moody calls celestial music. Rick Moody, by the way, is an American novelist, wrote The Ice Storm, among other things. He also wrote a book called On Celestial Music. And he tells how when he was growing up, he was forced to go to church. And he had to go to Sunday school. And he had to sit where y'all sat, listening to, as you do, one boring sermon after another. And people would just drone on and on about God and ideology, and he said it activated his BS meter. But what always moved him was church music. The music in church filled him with this intense feeling about the state of things. The organ music was sublime to him, even when he didn't understand harmony and counterpoint. He said, "Organ music scared me and demanded something of me by its virtue of its grandiosity." And then there was the choir. When they sang during church service, the human voice raised in song, it was so important, so routine, so unearthly, it gave access to the numinous. And to me, this is what music can do for us, both churchy music and top 40. Sacred and secular. It can move you to celestial spaces while your feet are firmly planted on the ground. But lest I get too ethereal, there's an important reminder in all this by our psalmist to us today. In Psalm 98, music points us to God, and it has two purposes. The first is to give you an avenue to praise. When you actually think of everything that God has done in this world, and the heavens, and the stars, and the galaxies, does it not fill your soul with awe and wonder? When you watch the land, the seas, the skies, and all the creatures therein show their joie de vivre, their joy of life by blooming and by running wild and by soaring high, does your heart not fill with so much hope that you burst at the seams of your mouth and smile out loud in song? When you contemplate that you have the ability and possibility to love another human being, and they can love you back, and that God loves both of you so ardently and completely, does it not make you melt and want to break out into harmonies? And what can your soul do? What can your spirit do except sing out loud? Play harps and flutes and guitars and trumpets and drums and organs and let those ethereal notes gather up to God and flow to Him as we celebrate with our bodies and our souls and our minds. Music gives us expression to the emotions that cannot be conveyed by words or actions. And we join in the symphony of the earth with all the celestial bodies that are praising God. Now, the other thing that music helps us do is actually give witness to participate in, and to celebrate the justice of God. This is what the psalmist promises us in Psalm 98. It's the reason for the clapping rivers and the ringing hills. God will come to judge the earth with equity and bring about justice and righteousness. Now, for the hills and the rivers, that's good news. And at this point here, many contemporary theologians wax eloquently about the need for good environmental stewardship as being a sign of God's justice. But I have another take on this. Because the music that always makes me enter into the realm of God's justice and righteousness, the music that makes me abide in Jesus's love, as he entreats us in the gospel to abide in his love so our joy can be complete, the music that gets me there is the music that actually helps me and increases my love for all. It increases my generosity towards all. And this music overcomes my focus on scarcity and injustice and unfairness and refocuses me on abundance and the healing power that love has on all of our pain. For this is the righteousness of God, Not that God participated in the transactional process of distributive justice or reparations or transactional balances of power, but that God is the author of mercy, of grace, and of undeserved kindness to all. And that's what it means when we say over and over again, God is love. That's God's way of judging us, being righteous with us and meting out justice to us, not by righting wrongs, but by overcoming wrongs with love. What music helps you be filled with that kind of mercy? What music makes you want to shout out for joy because you don't have a God who has a ledger, but you have a God who judges on the mercy seat? How can your musical playlist leads you to be more giving, more forgiving, more generous, more loving, more like God? On Rick Moody's playlist, he writes in his essay on celestial music, he has Otis Redding's classic rendering of the song, Try a Little Tenderness. That song, it is like a masterclass in how to love another person. And in this case, the woman who has gone through so much in her life. She's poor. She can only afford to wear that shabby dress. She is weary and she's tired from her life. And you know what she needs? She doesn't need from you to right her wrongs. She needs the person in her life who's gonna show her a little tenderness, to love her, to hold her, to squeeze her, never let her go. So Otis croons, it's not just sentimental, no, no, no. You thought I was gonna sing this to you, didn't you? I love y'all too much. It is not just sentimental, no, no, no. She has her grief and care, but the soft words, they are spoke so gentle, it makes it easier, easier to bear. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for the psalmist reminding us of the power and the purpose of music in our lives to help us praise God, to help us enact God's justice, which always looks like profound mercy, steadfast love, and unearned generosity. It's no wonder that the lands and the hills and the seas and the stars sing day and night, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let us our songs employ.
Thank you so much for listening to Conversations at Christchurch Cranbrook. To learn more about our mission, worship services, and learning opportunities, please visit us at christchurchcranbrook.org. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Christchurch Cranbrook. We look forward to you joining us again, and may God bless you now and always.